Blog Talk Radio.
Once there was a way to get back homeward. Once there was a way to get back home. Sleep, pretty darling, do not cry, and I will sing a lullaby.
Dead air.
Okay, so that worked out well for me. That was Golden Slumbers by the Beatles, and I don't know what happened to my download, but there it went. Hello, everybody. This is Sweet Tea and Sweet Discussions at a very sweet different time spot. Usually I am on at 9, which is standard time, but there's a big old celebration going on at Place of Life. So I want to wish Kay a happy, happy birthday, and I'm very excited about that, but I do have someone online that will tell us about it. So this is Block Talk Radio, and I am Sweet Tea, and of course, we are members of All Poetry, and inside All Poetry, we are talking to you, a beautiful group called Team of Voices. So thank you for all of those people, Kevin and Deb, for letting me do this. It's wonderful. But back to Golden Slumbers. One of my favorite things about that is the lovely, beautiful, wonderful tip that I put on our board tonight about that song being a part of Thomas Decker's 1603 play, and it was the poem or credo song known in the Renaissance as one of the great lullabies, which lullabies, I don't think that's a great word. Golden slumbers kiss your eyes, smiles awake when you rise. Sweet pretty wonton, do not cry, I will sing your lullaby. Rockin' lullaby. So I never knew that. So I thought that was great. That song is based on a 1603 play. So, very cool. So tonight is about anagrams, which I got screamed at and bitched at about by certain poets in my lovely group, No Names Mentioned, Sky and Freebird, because I use the word word search, which means me looking for words within a word. But no, the word is anagram, which is to unscramble letters to form words. So that's what we're doing. So everybody say hello to Rock and Tour.
Hey. You know, they got the lyrics wrong. It's sweet, pretty darling, not sleep.
Aw, you're adorable. And hello, Steven.
Hello.
Steven.
How are you?
I'm all right. Been a busy day.
It happens. Tell us all about all the secrets you have tonight. Unless, of course, she's listening.
She's right next to me, but she's in the...
We don't want any surprises to her. Do you know all the secrets already, Kay?
What?
She's wondering if you know about any surprises today.
No.
I know there's one surprise you don't know about.
Oh.
Okay.
You better let Wayne out of that cake.
Birthday. Oh, God, please let Wayne out of the cake. You don't need sweaty balls. How is the beautiful birthday going, lovely?
It's going good. That was the day of family to me. Yeah.
It's good to be 25 again every year.
Yeah.
Did Stephen right. really say he was only going to take you out if you wore your birthday suit?
Oh, goodness. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, so we've got to try to behave. So I will grab you, Stephen, or do you want to let me go ahead and play your little... But you said
yeah,
I played
if you could...
that, I had to pay for it. So I'm not sure I want to do that.
You had to pay for it? What?
I had to pay for this too. Yeah. I only read it briefly. So I'm like, what did he say? I'm like, huh? I didn't... Do you want me to play your SoundCloud, or do you want to read this?
Actually, I would prefer if you played it, because it took me actually like 5 tries to get it right, because it gets a little tongue twisty.
Oh, okay, I will post it on the board, and then I will have everybody listen to it, and that way we will do the non-tongue twisty. Got bit by a puppy. That does not work well for me. Oh, hold on. Let's say hi to Pretty Bird first.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
Hi. Hello. How are ya?
Hi, Bird.
You know, I love Snuffleupagus. I really do. That was awesome.
Oh. Yeah, so let me go all the way up here. Dun, 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 dun. Here we go. Everybody go. Here comes the sound clip for Steven. Dun, dun. Here we go.
Jungle Mosaics Reveal Prey to Hungry Teeth by Steven76. Lime green reflections of clothed shamrocks follow follicles to lips. Eyes surrounded by mold espy the horned giraffe plodding through drought's dried grass. As mosaics spin up through double chin buttons in Floridian swampland, city streets' acid trip rises from the wooden floor while blackness gaze the bloodied horizon. Pesto water stains sink into plaid falls as white rabbits hide among albino leaves. Black oil smudges strangle cerulean stripes into blurred oceanic hellfire. The mouthless lizard paints numbered scales concealing in suffocation. Faithless regrets peel memories paint. Poison hand walks in gray matter corridors across Bondo fenders. All the while, pink petals blow and blue skies breeze. End poem.
Oh, my goodness. First off, this is stunning. It's a beautiful piece of poetry. I love the imagery. I love past the water stains sink into flat balls as white rabbits hide among albino leaves. The imagery of white rabbits hiding among albino leaves just strikes me as beautiful. I don't know why, but it does, especially under pastel water stains. I think that... You know, clad fall. I like how you put that piece of leaves in various colors put together in a pile. It looks very much like plaid. I think that's great imagery. And the other thing that I find very fascinating is that you chose Homer and Dr. Seuss. And Homer and Dr. Seuss, out of all the poets that I put up there for you to look for anagram and do all of that are the two poets that have the least amount of words that you can find. Homer is 44 words. There's only 44 words available to pull out of that group of letters. And Dr. Seuss is only 72. Where somebody like Emily Dickinson, you have 1,400 words you can pull from. So you took this two poets that have the lowest amount of words you can pull from, and you wrote this amazing poem. And I think it's just beautiful. The word bank is created. Yeah. And a lot of that, and a lot of people, I'm reading, you know, your comics and stuff, and they're like, oh, your word bank, you did so well with your word bank. Well, you picked your word bank. I didn't give you a word bank. And I really think that, you know, you should put that somewhere, and, you know, that this is an anagram, and you created your own word bank. Because it's very, very unique that, you know, you pulled them out. I didn't. And I find that such talent, you know, talent at work. Along with the right, you did very good as well, and I'm kind of like, wow, blown away. So, Pretty Bird, give me some love.
Oh, absolutely. First of all, I'm loving how your words, how you did the words in the A-N, and they're like your own little mini acrostic, which is fabulous, because, you know, you got to love more poems within poems and whatnot. Got to love the cleverness. But you have lines in here that are just quite amazing. While blackness gazed the bloodied horizon, that is like darkness perfection. And, you know, kind of love the shadows. But it's this verse towards the bottom. Faceless regrets peel memories paint. You know what? That kind of stabs a little bit. Like that is, you know, when things are familiar and have those kind of rough edges of emotion, they get me. They like really, really get me. And I fold in on myself and my exactly what that feels like to me. So, you know, take skill to do that. And the rest of that, poison hand walks in gray matter corridors across Bondo fenders. You know, we try to heal, but we're our own worst enemy, you know. You really are. And between lines like that that just speak to me and the rest of it that is so wonderfully full of imagery and animals and kind of love the Floridian swampland because that's my backyard, like literally. So I absolutely love this. And I love your choice of poets because you've got like classic old school and then you've got, you know, everybody's favorite, you know, that makes things fun and interesting. And to me, Dr. Seuss is like was my kids' first introduction to anything poetic. Because, you know, you read them as kids books, but that's where they learn rhyme, that's where they learn how to read, that's where they learn all these things and a couple of life lessons thrown in to boot. So I kind of love that you went like way modern and way old and made this amazing piece a little bit abstract and a whole lot of vividity. And so kudos.
Thank you.
You are welcome.
And Rat.
Yeah, this is very well constructed, Stephen. For me, when I have to deal with a word bank, it kind of makes the story up for me. And the story that you chose, the imagery that you created from what you pulled out of the names is really phenomenal. The Bondo one really grabbed at me. There's so many of them. It's hard to even pick one. The Black Oil was amazing, and the last one was fantastic. The Pink Petals. I mean, you really did a great job taking those words and weaving them into something concrete that just doesn't make it sound like a word bank anymore. You know, it felt natural and it flowed lovely. You did a great job with this. I really enjoyed it very much.
Thanks, Rick.
Yeah, that was absolutely fabulous. Fabulous. I just finished getting warm. which is wonderful. And the other question I have is, what did you think of the process?
Well, I thought that it was interesting, that's for sure. It took me a little bit to grasp it. A little while I was trying to figure out exactly how and what to do. But, yeah, I thought it was kind of cool. It's definitely different, which is always something good because, you know, sometimes it does seem like things can get a little, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for?
Mundane?
Boring?
There you go.
Monotonous, yeah.
So it's good brain exercises.
Cool. You can't cheat. You know, there's an anagram finder online. That's why I know how many words you can pull out of each one. So.
Well, you could cheat with Dr. Seuss. You could cheat with Dr. Seuss.
Well, I didn't cheat. I actually wrote down. What was funny is I wrote down various words that I found in each of them. And then I went and I looked at the anagram finder and I went, God, you're really stupid. Especially when I'm looking at 1,400 words and I'm like, oh, that puts my 50 words to shame. I was like, wow, I thought I had, you know, some kind of, you know, grasp on the English language, and I was like, oh, my gosh. So, yeah, that was kind of funny. But I am glad you enjoyed it. And I really hope you guys have a good time over at your show tonight. I'm very excited for you today. I think that's just birthday parties are a lot of fun. I would like to invite you next week to, have, if you have a chance, to jump on over to my show. We are celebrating my 1 year of my heart surgery. So next week's show is going to be very, very special.
Wow.
So,
it's been a year.
It's been 1 year since I started moving, and life has just been incredibly full of blessings and, a lot of change for me, and I couldn't have done it with everybody here. So many people that worked and prayed and did everything. So that will be my special night, and not sure what time it's going to be, but that's going to be a very interesting one. That's what I'm doing next week, guys.
Awesome.
That'll be it. So, what am I doing next? Let's see. I don't know how much time you two have, but I did bring some lovely readings tonight by our favorite people, if I can find them. They're very long readings, which I didn't really realize. But here's one from Mr. Silverstein.
Went for a ride. Flying shoe. Hooray! What fun.
What's time?
Said Pico me, Pico me,
Pico me, too.
Pico was captain, and Pickle was crew, and Pickle served coffee and mulligan stew as higher and higher they flew. Pickle me, pickle me too. Pickle me.
the sun and up into the blue. Hold on, stay in. I hope that we do. Cried, tickle me. Tickle me and pickle me, tickle me too. Never returned to the world, you know. And nobody knows just what's happened to dear tickle me, pickle me, tickle me.
Anybody want to be pickled?
There is nothing PG-13 about to come out of my face. I'm going to shut my pie hole.
Pickle me by Yes, it is. It's a children's home.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm sitting
and
here.
By the sidewalk in the book, sidewalk kitten. A children's home.
It's those gosh darn pickles.
That's right. Read by Shell himself. So I think that it's just adorable and cute. I have to look at. And I think
just
want to
ride boats.
And then I also have Jabberwocky by Lewis Carroll. Which is one of my favorites. I have that one available if anybody would like to listen to that right now.
Which one is it?
Jabberwocky.
The Jabberwocky.
I don't know that I've ever heard that one. Hey, Sky is calling.
I know. Sky is calling.
I'm in my car. I tried to get here as soon as I could. I'm like one of those people that are like when they're dating someone and then they're like, I'll be home soon, honey. And then it's like 5 hours later, they're home from work.
as soon as a relative comes,
like,
don't worry.
Are you ready to listen to the Jabberwocky?
I am. I'm ready.
All right. I'm going to listen to it. It's my gift. Okay. It's my gift.
"'Twas brillig, and the slidy toves did gyre and gimble in the wabe. All mimsy were the borogroves, and the mome raths outgrabe. Beware the Jabberwock, my son, the jaws that bite, the claws that catch. Beware the Jubjub bird, and shun the frumious Bandersnatch." He took his vorpal sword in hand. Long time the manxome foe he sought, so rested he by the Tumtum tree, and stood awhile in thought. And as in uffish thought he stood, the Jabberwock with eyes of flame came whiffling through the cuddly wood, and burbled as it came. One, two, and through, the vorpal blade went snicker-snack. He left it dead, and with its head he went galumphing back. "And hast thou slain the Jabberwock? Come to my arms, my beamish boy, O frabjous day, calloo, callay!" He chortled in his joy. 'Twas brillig, and the slithy toves did gyre and gimble in the wabe. All mimsy were the borogroves, and the mome raths outgrabe.
Absolutely one of my favorites. From the book Alice and the Looking Glass, or Through the Looking Glass. You know what I find really cool about Lewis Carroll and Dr. Seuss and Chelsea Bristine is that they all have this very unique poetic style of the odd and yet the fun and this great imagination. I find them so intriguing. that they have this unique style of uber gurus, you know, dressed in fur, a kind of thought process. And I don't think that, you know, nonsense poetry is really, like, focused on. I you know, I really should do a show about nonsense poetry. I think that would be fun. Are any of you up for writing nonsense poetry? In dead silence.
I have a lot of nonsense poetry. A lot of it.
That wasn't nonsense.
That's awesome. So, Sky, I have presents for you already, even though you're like, I don't know what you're writing. I have a poem already you wrote for me.
Yeah, I know, but I'm walking my house. I'm not ready to read because I'm literally. I called you when I was driving home from work, and I just got out of my car, and I need to walk
okay.
up.
Okay, no, I'm
8 miles.
I'm so glad you called me.
Yeah.
Watch out for the Jabberwocky.
Yeah.
And the Bandit.
And the pickle that might tickle. Yeah.
Well,
or the pickle that might fly. Beware of the pickle.
Want to ride the new motor pickle.
Did you know he's there? I'm waiting for Hatter. I just want to ride my motor pickle.
Am I the only one who's ready to read right now? I mean, I can read. It's just I'm outside.
Well, let me just chit chat. Hello, Wolf.
Look
at that. Everybody say hi. Hello. Hello. Hi, Ludo. Got my peeps out there. Hello, hello. So exciting. I have to go out and look at my board, see what else is going on. Puppy pop, and then I have a puppy that's really trying to call on my desk. So everybody that knows Amadeus now has to meet Remington because he's a bit of a pain in the butt. So, you can have that. Seven little puppies. Oh, what can I do?
Michelle.
Am I not Deb? She's got a monkey poem.
She is. She's in the studio.
Is she? Well, there
she is.
Her name is. Boom, she appears. Hello, beautiful Deb.
Hello.
How are you?
Hiding in the background.
I was just about to type, I'm here. And then I heard Freebird say I was here. So
I'm here.
My sweet. I finally got word. Our Hutter did great in surgery. He's sore, but his meds are great.
Yes. I'm so excited. I was waiting to see if he was, he's not going to be able to hear the show tonight, so I can read his stuff at any time. Because I was kind of waiting here, but he's going to be in recovery most of the night. All right. Aw, it made me sad. That's okay. We're good. We can love on him. So we're going to love on him. Say hi to Stephen K. They're here. Well, he is here. Kay's sitting next to me.
Hello, hello. Happy birthday, Kay.
Hello.
And if he's listening on the board from yesterday, happy birthday yesterday, Wolf Spirit.
Happy birthday yesterday, Wolf Spirit.
Happy birthday, happy birthday. There's so many.
I know. July is full like January is full. My goodness.
It all comes down to how cool it is.
Because you're July, baby. You aren't you, Steven? You're July 4th-ish, baby.
I'm July 6th.
Yeah. New Year around there. Got the bing bang baby thing going on. So many babies. Creeper
Winter's
and
very boring.
January.
That's why you get a lot of summer babies.
Well, that's true.
I was just counting backwards to see what it was.
Oh, You know what I'm really upset about right now? Being a birthday. So I'm watching this cellular one freaking phone. Oh, you're too stupid to know how to use a cell phone. So we've got the cell phone for old people commercial. Flip phone commercial. All you have to do is press one or three buttons and we can get you connected to all your relatives. And it literally the tagline is, for those of us who weren't born during something or other, and all of a sudden they start popping up, 1966, 1965, 1961. And I'm looking at all these people that are showing up for 1966. They've got gray hair, and they're wearing funky glasses, and they're, like, having kids come over and help them, or they're, and I'm like, first off, I was born in 1966, and I don't look at any of you, and I do know how to use something other than football. So I'm like, maybe I should ask people, do I look like that? Do I not know how to use anything other than a flip phone? My God, is that what they think of people born in 1966? Am I just not aware? Has that happened to us? Do we not know we're supposed to be in those commercials? I'm very frightened of this, people. I'm not getting any feedback from you people.
Well, having seen you in person, you are much more vibrant than that.
her teeth like the stars.
How come you go around and visit everybody but me?
Well, she just loves me more. You're all right.
Sweet, head out.
Okay, guys. Thank you for hanging with me and listening to me and playing with my anagram because it's not a word search. not to mention names, Sky and Pretty Bird. You have a great birthday. I don't want to come on your show. I love you all.
Oh, yeah.
Love and respect. Have fun.
Love and respect. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Did Pretty Bird yell at you, too?
Oh, no, I did not yell. I was like, you might want to switch that to anagram. But, you know, other than that, it's awesome.
Nobody ever yells at me. So I'm a poet, so I use words dramatically, but nobody ever yells at me.
People don't understand that.
Yes, I had to point it out as well. It's the word nerd in me.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're Puerto Rican. You don't know what yelling is.
No, that's just how I talk.
Exactly. I don't know what yelling is. That's the normal volume.
So I've never been, quote-unquote, yelled at by anyone other than the man I've been married to and children I have given birth to and the brothers that I'm related to.
And
my mother. Amadeus yells at me every once in a while. But, no, I sent Sky a picture of Amadeus when I was in Wyoming. And he looks so forlorn, like, Mom.
Looks miserable.
He really does. He looks so unhappy. But, yeah, he has the most expressive eyes. But, yeah, if he yells at me, he gets really upset about it. So. And then, it seems like I'm sending a lot of pictures to this guy, but I sent pictures of also because she got all upset about the anagram thing. I sent her a picture of a wand I got from Harry Potter World just to make her upset.
So they're doing this thing up where I live, except it's like a 35 to 40 minutes away from where I live. But they're doing the entire street. It's a whole week worth of an event, and they're changing it all into Diagon Alley, and it's just going to be like, I don't know, a Harry Potter world. And it's going to be all the event. I know. You want to play?
I sent you a D&D dragon from my son's comic book shop. Thank you. It's an $800 dragon. It's huge. But anyway, I digress. That's what you and I go to a different level of nerdiness. But anyway, I do have your poem, Sky.
My computer is loading up as we speak. If you give me like 2 seconds, I think I could be there. Maybe like more than 2 seconds.
Okay, well, I got Jeff, too, or I got the patterns. I can do those.
I think I'm ready now, if you'd like. Sometimes my computer doesn't like to work right away. If you have it on the board, I can do it.
I don't
it's
have
really
it on
short.
The board, but I can get it.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm so much trouble today. I didn't want to be late. I told you I could be here at 7, and then I got out late.
Well, I know, but you're not the only reason I did what I did. I did it for Kay.
So this is, it's not exactly what you asked for, but it was, I had this pre-written, it says a month ago, but it really was longer than that. But what I did was, it is an anagram, but the thing is that you see all those names in the author's notes? All those letters, the poem is built out of all those letters and those names. So, and I only used each letter once. So if you were to unscramble all of this poem and the title, it would spell out all those names, because I like to get really crazy sometimes. This is called. Oregano Varnish by Sky Darkholm. When flannel words take shape on paper, stills of shy embroidered poetry are invoked. Gateways watch to timeless literary horizons, woven in memory vault with caliber grain. Meadows, umbrella, trestle tailored with fa beat. Willows, bristling limb, a vast whimsical tone. End poem.
Meadows, umbrella, trestle tailored in fa beat. My gosh. I love that line. I don't know how you do sometimes the things you do in the little itty bitty amounts that you do them in. And they've had such a powerful punch. I mean, Taylor is Bobby. So you've got these little tiny compressed short stands of fa, 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 fa. That's all I can see is like raindrops in the, fa, 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 beats. I don't know why that music is in my head, but it is. Little bristling limb off the back of the musical phone. So it just, I've got this little musical, and then the poetry of it all, and the author's name. So now I've got, it all doing in poetic tempo and all these other things that I know, should know about poetry that I don't, like sonnets and beats and so many letters and syllables per line and all the things I know that I don't write to at all because I write three verse. I do try sometimes to write in proper form. And I think this is gorgeous, and I love that you did it in anagram style, which is a word I'll never forget. in a lovely way. Wonderful job.
Thank you so
much. And I shall turn it over to Deb for her comment.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just sitting here looking at this with my chin on the ground, remember that, they're only period from those words. I'm feeling like mine's lacking now because I just used mine to make a crazy word bank and then started working with it. She full-on just used those words and did it quite brilliantly. So, no, she doesn't have OCD in the least, I wouldn't think. Wow. But, I do think, on the other hand, that it was probably really fun because it would have been like putting a jigsaw puzzle together, but with words, and to try and make it cohesive, which you did brilliantly. So, bravo, Miss Sky Darkholm. Awesome.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And
yeah, I really love what you did with this. Oh.
I'm sorry, Rack. You're good.
I couldn't.
I love to say Rack, and I don't know why I said Freebird, because my first part of it was Rack, so you're good.
I love what she did with this. The literary reference kind of fits with the idea behind the anagram too. So, you know, just the opening line about the flannel words. That's a great phrase. That, you know, I mean, I like to think I'm creative, but that's like, you know, kind of blowing me away a little bit, because the idea of that, the comfort of the flannel, and you know, there's a lot of imagery wrapped in that word alone, and that's just, you know, one small example of what you did with some of these metaphors that you came up with. This is, you know, there's a lot of brilliance in this. I really enjoy this a lot.
Thank you, Wes.
And the keyword.
You know, I'm right there with you, Rack. That opening couplet just is stunning. I mean, when flannel words take shape on paper is just gorgeous, because it's all kind of comfy and warm, kind of like comfort food, where you're reading it and it just feels good, and instills of shy embroidered poetry are evoked. That's kind of like magic, and it's elegant and it's graceful, and it is all those lovely things that I never am, because I'm you know, I am just me. I can only do so much, and it's just really, really beautiful. And I will say this: I am right there with you, girly. My when it comes to anagrams, my mind went nuts. I had to stop at 325 words of stuff, and then when I went to actually go write, I was like, well, I didn't write this one down, and I didn't use this one. Let me just use all these other words. And because I'm a little crazy, so I feel you. This is awesome.
Thank you. And it's cheating a little bit, because the directions were a little bit different, but like every letter is only used however many letters. Like if, like Emily, the E's, they're only used at how many E's are in there. So it was a little bit easier because I had a wealth of letters to be able to use, but I could only use every letter once. Whereas Sweet Peas Challenge, I think sometimes that could be a little bit more challenging, because some of them only had like 10, maybe like 8 to 10 letters per name, so you can only use 8 to 10 letters per the whole poem, where this one, yes, I could only use one letter, and like once I used that letter, I couldn't use it again, but because there were so many names, it gave me more letters to work with, so, which I thought made it, you know, would make it a little bit easier, I think, than just working with like 8 to 10 letters in general.
Okay, so now that you've just showed us how wonderful and great you are, and you're adored by all of us, thank you. Let's see. I am going to get Freebird and Steph to read some poetry for me, and that will be happy. I'm going to read for my man, who's out and about, just got out of back surgery again, because he deserves fabulous people and fabulous fun. So, Deb, which ones do you want to read?
Oh, in your mini mind, mo. I didn't even look. Dear heart, let me go look. Well, I want to go with whatever one it was he put there first, so how about if I do that?
Okay.
I'll grab it while I'm there.
Okay.
And here I come. And you should see it right about now. See it?
Gotcha.
Okay. Until It Proves It's Gone by Jay Hatter. With harps in tune this month of June pins the rain against the skin. Apples and pies through disguise to kiss the lips of kin. Kites in flight made it all just right to nap from 8 to 9. The balance of ends means it can't all because it's mine. Freed from verse, from better or worse, the list goes on and on. Ink will stain out in the rain until it proves it's gone. End poem.
I love the entire nonsense of it all. The harps of June, the month of June, the rain against the skin. And I love apples and pies through the sky, kiss the lips of June. It just has this way of writing things that makes, no matter what it is, sound so happy and fun. And, you know, I just somehow see him in Wonderland sitting at the table with everybody there and just going, tee-tee-tee-tee-tee, and talking to the March Hare, and everybody's looking there, and he's saying what he wants to say and drinking his mad tea, and everybody's just engrossed in what he has to say. Because I would be Alice doing that, like, okay, Hatter, this is the most brilliant thing that comes out of anyone's mouth. And that is how I do it. So, Rocky Tour, your thoughts?
Yeah, I love the cadence of this. It fits well with the whimsy of the whole piece. And the imagery kind of makes sense to me. You're saying nonsensical. I don't know. It's whimsical. I don't know about nonsensical, but, you know, the whole idea of it kind of flows to me. The rain sticking and the poetry coming out in the rain, I like the way he put it together. I really do. This is really cool. No surprise. Feel better, Hatter.
And Deb, your thoughts?
Well, I made the word bank for him, and I'm loving that he turned around and didn't skip a beat as far as his signature rhyme and flow and meter and cadence and inner, outer. I mean, I think he was actually showing off a little with this. he said he doesn't, no, as of a couple months ago, he had never done a word bank. Then he did a couple with his arm twisted, and they came out surprising to him, and now I think he's getting better and better at them. I'll have to remember to ask him if he actually might even like them now. But mm-hmm. That was really awesome.
Cool. And Sky, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think Brad had a perfect word for what Hatter seems to excel in, which is definitely cadence. He really does the long line rhyme really, really well. The freed from verse, from better to worse, the list goes on and on. Ink will sting out the rain until it proves it's gone. It's such a beautiful lament. It's very short, and word banks aren't always easy, but I say that, but a lot of people here that are on the radio that I share with, you guys do them so well, but they're not as easy as people might think. If you just listen to it, putting it together really takes, to not force it, it takes skill. I really love how he brought in the apple pies, and disguised kiss in the lips of kin. I thought that was pretty clever too. This is wonderfully done and really well done.
You know, I love this. Okay, since you mentioned Alice and Hatter, that is all I see. It really, really is. But with all the food and the picnic, but it was a wonderful, whimsical description of a June picnic, and you know, rain comes in and whatnot. But it is that last line, ink will stain out in the rain until it proves it's gone, And that has so many different layers that I can't stop looking at it. It's almost heartbreaking. You know, you get the words out and then it ultimately doesn't matter. And, or you try and it's all messed up and whatnot. And I apologize for my background noise because apparently my people are forgetting that I am on the air. So sorry about that. But this is really lovely and it's got whimsy and it's fun and it's visual and it makes you feel, so, you know, you can't beat that. I think you did a great job.
I'm sorry, Susan. That was an awesome comment. But as soon as you said, my people don't know I'm here. My people who ain't brought in.
That's right. I'm sorry. I don't mean to butt in, but, sweet, I was cracking up because I assume it's Remy in the background, and he's squeaking his toy, and you're just talking, and I'm thinking, you know, I bet money that Sweet doesn't even hear him because she's so used to it, she just blanks it out,
no,
and I'm hearing
you.
I'm just cracking up.
You're right. I didn't even notice the squeak, and now I hear it.
That's what I
hear. Yeah, that's like normal day, like, we're yeah. I apologize.
Just tell Remy that's a very different way to co-host. Just saying.
Get the main toy out of the office. If you guys hear odd dog sounds, you have to let me know because squeaking and bone crunching, I don't hear. And I will tell you something about dog toys, if everybody wants to know. Dog toys that make that crunchy sound, they're made to really like that. Yeah.
No, I believe. Sorry.
Go ahead.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Yes.
I was gonna say I believe Bone Cruncher is the name of a giant in the BFG in the Ron Dahl book. Just saying.
But. That's what that sound is made them to sound like, the bones crushing in an animal. So anytime you hear that, that's what it's made to sound like. And the highest squeak dog makers of dog toys is to make it sound like an animal screaming. They are not as innocent as a squeak. They're deliberately made that way.
Yeah.
Now that we've learned about dog toys, let's move on to more happy things.
The next poem from Hatter is the one that he put up on your board by accident last week for open poetry, and we read it last week. I'm happy to read it again tonight, though, if you'd like.
Oh, yeah, you know what? It's a Hatter poem, and Hatter's 38, so I want to celebrate Hatter.
Awesome, because I love this poem. And did I put it on the board? I don't know if I did. No, I didn't. Okay, well, let me do that.
No.
And sorry about that background noise again. My people are just inconsiderate.
I can't hear them, so.
No, it's the dryer. They just decided to want to do laundry, and the laundry is right outside my door.
Oh.
So I've like texted them all, can you turn the machine off? But apparently, no. He's up on the board, and this is Wandered Nights by Jay Hatter. And it goes like this. The days he kept in memories, the times his heart was true, the nights were filled with wondering as the love for her still grew. She waits upon the castle steps, wishing wells for him to see, praying that her love would stand, not knowing it cannot be. The danger that surrounds her soul, he tries to carry on. He soars the clouds above the crowds, protecting her from things not known. She kneels in prayer, asking why the love she feels when he passed by. Sorrow tastes of bittersweet. It's not to be her love to keep. A promise kept so close it pains. He damns what's real and goes insane. The night his eyes he closed too tight, he felt the dread go out of sight. She wandered past the castle steps, her path of tears she had wept, led her where he could not see, now the heaven set her free.
He weeps the tears of all madmen, let it be the tales are told. Sorrow cuts the jagged edge and throws it to the coals. Still working.
Oh, wait. This is the old version. Okay, so am I reading the other part of it, too?
I'll read the other part of it.
What?
Yeah, so we'll read the other part.
All right, this is the old version.
Her love afar kept her blackened wings. His life to give was not his. Feels the sorrow that it brings. Apart they drift and wandered nights, but only in his dreams. Nightly mares that rips and tears, haunted by her screams. She walked into the cloud of lies, thinking it was he. Hearing whispers she reached for, no reason to not believe. He weeps the tears of all madmen with tragic tales be told. It rains her love from high above and turns his heart too cold. Those times rush by, slowly dying inside. He whispered in unknown dread. He spoke of the things tied to the strings that hung until he was dead. End poem.
That's crazy. I love them so much. I love them both. But I have a question. Didn't you just read the old version last week?
I think you did.
On top of it?
I don't know.
I think you read a new version this week, and last week was the old version. Can you restart the lightning poem? I don't remember the old this version. Last week.
No, it was the Nightly Mares, the old version, that I think that he, so he came in and he fixed it.
Yeah.
Not that it needed fixing, because it was awesome.
Right.
Nightly Mares was the one that he definitely read, though.
Yeah. Absolutely. Huh. Hey, Deb, your thoughts?
Well, this was one of those Hatter poems that you look at it and you know, you listen and your chin just drops. And then you look around and you see stuff like, you know, it's won gold. It's on 3, 4, 5, 7 lists already. And you wonder, for one, why he felt the need to rework it to begin with. And then, yeah, because, like, no matter how you slice it up, it still gets you. He expanded on it more, maybe. So, but the nice part is, often when we do this kind of a thing, we go in and we just totally do it and get the original. At least he held on to the original, so we had double the treat.
Yeah. I think I want to say hello to AT.
Hi, sweet. How are you?
Hello.
How are you? I just have had 3 hours of meeting, so I've just been released from my computer. So there you go.
All righty then. Well, we're talking about Hatter's home, so I'm going to ask Guy. Guy, did you give it last week? Maybe I'm going to ask Guy.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. What did you call me?
Yes, I did.
Okay, sorry about that. I thought it was an excellent piece, and I think there is a I always keep my originals, but there are some times that I do feel reworking poems is beneficial. If you stepped away from it, even if you stepped away from it for a number of years, and then you go back, because I think we do all grow, someone once told me a piece of poetry is an artwork in process. You know, it may never be finished, and I think in some cases it's true, in some cases just leave it alone. Either way, I think both versions are done quite well. And I do agree. I like that he kind of puts both in here so we can kind of see where, you know, he thought the change might be. And even the slight changes, I do think, yes, it does keep the same overall feeling and message, but it reads different. I liked this piece here. She wandered past the castle steps, her tears that she had wept, led her where he could not see, and that the heavens set her free. A lot of his pieces that are set in this tone, in a way, are very, there's a longing to them, a beautiful longing, and I think he does that emotion very, very well through language, really well done.
Absolutely. Rocky, your thoughts?
Me?
Yes.
You.
Hey. I liked it both ways. God, take that out of context. The way he writes the story of this, like Sky touched on, you know, the longing in it, but the overall feel of it too, you know, he sets the scene. He's got, you know, the minute he mentions the castle and everything, you know, you kind of are taken back and you know, and then he follows through with wonderful imagery that stays within kind of the theme of what he's talking about and helps the story to flow along and kind of guides you along with the visuals and the metaphors that he's giving us to evoke the feelings that he wants, I think, I hope, anyway, that he wants. You know, it's just a really clever literary trick that he uses. I really appreciate it. And you know, it makes for me the story very memorable and relatable even.
All right, AP, are you in a hurry to run and go?
No, I've done all my 3 hours of U.S. settings. I'm all good.
All right. Well, I'm so excited. I'm very excited about the next film, which is Deb and her monkey. I've been waiting for this now for 2 weeks. let's play with monkeys.
Okay, let me go get it.
It's on the board.
Ah, thank you. Thank you.
Wild lady's already got.
Okay. Isn't she cute? Meet the monkey. Her name is Alice. Here we go. The circus clowns from Onion Canyon ride up. Car doors slam and crack the glass window. Sharp shards drop, and now the ebony asphalt glitters from the neon sun's blazing gold glow. See that red monkey sitting on the dark corner? The men set out to put her in a leather collar. They call that crimson primate Little Miss Alice, as she swings hands and feet like a kickboxer. She crawled on the drapery and screamed, then slid down and bitch-smacked those guys. Now that big bald clown sports a bloody nose. The bearded blonde man shows two black eyes. Alice just smiles and kicks back and reclines, eating bananas her lawyer picked just for her. With silk socks on fur feet and a pink mink tutu. Rose mousse in her hair, but no chain or collar. And a poem.
Oh, awesome. I love that story for her. I love that you named her Alice. I love that she's a pink monkey. Even though I know that she's a poor little monkey, which I'll have you tell. But this is great. I love that she gets to bitch slap some very bad people that want to put her in a collar. And I love that she has mousse in her hair and she can be misspying. And that she has her own lovely, you know, set of lawyers to get her what she wants. This is adorable. I'm so glad that I finally got to hear it from you. And that you picked Emily Dickinson and Lewis Carroll, which, of course, by the way, Lewis Carroll has 909 words available, and Emily Dickinson has 1,473 words available. So you definitely did well with your word bank. You picked out some great words in there. I pulled out 50 words for mine, and I used Dr. Seuss, and I used Edgar Allan Poe. And Edgar Allan Poe has 1,096. And in 2 weeks, I never did finish my poem, but I had a lot of personal things going on. This is stunning. I really like the imagery. I love the storytelling. I love that she screams her hand like a kickboxer. Yeah, you never want to mess with one of you. Brilliant, Ed. Absolutely brilliant. A.T., your thoughts?
Thanks, sweet.
Oh, it's a great image. I love the image, and I love that it's Alice. And the block of words are brilliantly used. I love the fact Alice is eating bananas, and I love that she's got silk socks on her feet. It's just really cute. It's beautifully described, and it's got tutu in it too. What's not to like? Thanks, Deb.
Thanks, EP.
And Rocky Horse.
To those of us old enough to remember, this reminds me of, I think it was Clint Eastwood, Any Which Way But Loose with the orangutan, I think it was.
Oh.
Oh,
I have it because if I remember the movie right, the orangutan was like a boxer or something. It was running around smacking people and beating people up. So that was the image that I got. But, you know, I could imagine the indignity of any animal, you know, if they had any choice, any sense, not wanting to be put in a collar. So, you know, again, poetic justice, beautifully done.
Thank you, Rex.
Yeah. And Sky.
Yes, Deb, I dare say you might have put a little bit of soapbox stuff in here about animal treatment, and definitely I'm with the monkey. Clowns are never good. I thought it was funny and clever, wonderfully done, but also if you look at it, does, I think, have a little bit of a message about treatment of animals, which I also really enjoy when you kind of tuck that in, because when you look at it, it's quite humorous on the surface and quite cleverly done, but when you go beneath that little bit of skin, there's a bit more depth there, and I also enjoyed that. Really well done.
Clever perspective, because I am about to bum everybody out, I believe.
Yeah, I'm going to let Freebird make her comment, and then I'm going to let you tell the story with Pink Monkey.
I loved this. I did love the humor in it. I loved the wonderful imagery in it. I loved the empowerment in it because, you know, most small animals or people or whatever tend to not champion for themselves. And she wasn't having it. She was all kinds of empowered and said, no, this is going to be my way. And I love the ending of this because it is all good things. You know, she's going to do things on her own terms, which is really kind of a lovely message because, you know, nothing like a bunch of big bullies to make you do something you don't want to do. So her saying, hell no, is absolutely fabulous.
Thank you, Pretty Bird.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And you will please explain Pink Monkey to everyone, please.
Say that again?
Explain the Pink Monkey.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Well, the reason I didn't put it at the bottom is because I was compelled to give this little character a happy ending and a little bit of humor because how I stumbled upon this gorgeous little critter is that it has been abandoned by its family and by the rest of the monkeys because some wonderful visiting tourists where this beautiful animal lives, decided that it would be funny to spray paint her, and all the other monkeys have shunned her, and she spends all her time alone, and it broke my heart, so I felt the need to give her a sweet, funny little story. But people suck.
Good summary.
Yes, thank you.
We need to show ID to buy spray paint, but anyone could buy a shotgun.
Well, I wish they would have had to show ID for that, because, like, I mean, her hair is that color. They were able to get it off her skin, obviously, but cruel. There's a special place in hell for them, I'm sure.
We don't need ID to buy spray paint.
Yes, you do.
Where you live.
It's because of all the huffing
and it's fairly recent, I believe. But, yeah, you do. It's ridiculous.
You have to sign your name at the register if you want to buy Sudafed because of what they do with it.
That.
So it's like we got all kinds of crazy shit around here.
Methamphetamines,
yeah. You have to do that.
Yeah.
You have to do that. But I might buy field paint. I can't remember showing my ID for field paint. But maybe that's different.
The gun lobby makes it easier to buy guns than spray paint.
Buy a lot of spray paint. I buy a
not
lot of steel paint. It's different than spray paint. I don't know. Hey, Bird, it's up to you.
What's up to me? Oh, is it my turn?
It's your turn.
Okay. If they stop slamming things behind me, that would be nice. Here we go. This is my little piece. So every single word in this is an anagram of my two little people. So there's that, because I went a little word nerdy and I wrote hundreds and hundreds of words, and then I was like, I need to stop and just start writing. Then I'm like, oh, look, I have more words. So every single word in here can be found in Robert Frost and Edgar Allan Poe. And so this is Sound of Retrograde, and it goes like this. Let us grab onto taped edges of paper, lost to tasted retrograde. Bonds dangle, pleased to tease, before an angel eloped on spell tails. Don't go, please. Trees bend strong plans on far plains to foreseen and forgotten pledges on a ledge's alleged edge. Teeter-totter and rend blood, rotted, stolen, and gnarled. Generate and degenerate paired bones. Led to one pleased, begs to not go. Don't tend drafted, barefooted, golden gates, reported to treat real and sane, tendered frontage of an erased error, oral bland and bereft of taste, fed forage and stab gobs of talented poets, fret not, bored and lost alone on deaf ears, bonds do not last on fasted lines, grafted. Let us grab onto taped edges of paper. Please, don't go. And Paul.
Wow. He's been a strong plan for far flames before he and forgotten pledges on ledge edge. That's a mouthful and a beautiful. I don't know. Again, I'm blown away at what everyone did with a few poets' lines or names. I'm just, wow. Oral Brandon Bereef of Tate. See Fork and Staff, gobs of talented poets. Fret not, bored and lost, alone on deaf ears. This is crazy good. Please don't go. Thanks, do not go. Do not go, please. I like how you did all of that. That's really cool. This is just beautiful. Your message in here is actually very haunting, too. Again, Pretty Bird, you blew me away. Very well done. Very well crafted, too.
Much appreciated.
And, always. And Mr. Sackentor, your thoughts?
Well, anytime you give a word nerd free rein, you got to watch out. I love what you did with this. You gave me a bit of a speed bump in the beginning. When I'm looking at the title, I'm like, retrograde. I'm trying to twist some of these words around and figure out which name it came from. I really, you know, like the way that you wove it together. I'm a sucker when it's got, you know, a story. I like beginning, middle, and end type thoughts, and, you know, that the way that you write fits well with a lot of that, you know, because it's usually something that you're talking about. 90% of the time it's an emotion that you're trying to get off your back, and, you know, at least I think so.
Oh,
anyway,
that's true.
I'm sorry?
That's true. I purge.
Yeah, and I find that very relatable, too. But yeah, that closing thought is the, you know, really the mic dropper for me, which, you know, it's what it's supposed to be. And that's something that really is kind of haunting. And, again, familiar in the way that you write, because, you know, you constantly tell us and remind us, not that it needs to be pointed out, that you're all jagged. And that came through in a lot of this. And oddly enough, Edgar Allan Poe was a bit jagged too, so, you know. I don't know about Robert Frost so much, but I really enjoyed this though. This was wonderful. It really was.
Thank you. That's awesome.
And Deb, your thoughts?
Well, I'm just blown away by all the wording. I mean, man, pretty bird, and especially teeter-tottered and red blood, rotted, stolen, and gnarled, generate and degenerate. I mean, well, begs, do not go. And back up some where the angel, before an angel eloped on spelled tails, do not go, please. So, like, you pounded emotion through here. You got great imagery. You got some... back to that teeter-totter of blood, you got the darkness. It's like the total package all slammed into one, and then back to the ending, please don't go. It's like, damn. I think that you outdid yourself with this kind of a prompt.
Oh, wow. Thank you. It was so much fun. My nerd girl was just doing jumping jacks. I'm not jumping jacks, backflips.
No, I could tell.
Oh, I
could
like
really
that.
Tell, though.
There are certain
Thank
things
you.
You have that would just be slapping you in the face.
Oh, a little bit. That's why I don't jog.
Oh, that's a great imagery for me. Thank you.
and that's why we support
AD,
you.
I know. And AP, your thoughts?
Oh, it's great piece of work. I love mucking around with words, and I love the whole idea of having anagrams of things, and just the set of words that Pretty Bird put together were just wonderful. And then to grab those words and make sense of them and put them into a story was just terrific. So I think it was great work.
Thank you.
And my other nerdy girl, Skye. So, Pretty Bird, remember that time when you logged in to your SoundCloud and you seen like 500 listens from Miss Skye Darkholm? This kind of piece reminds me of why not only listening to you read, but the language in itself reminds me of what I love about your writing. And a cool thing about this, doing the anagrams and being limited to so many letters, to so few letters, you really get this cool kind of language in a play on sonnets and consonants, where you get the pledges and the ledges and the ledged edge. It's a little bit of a twisting kind of turn when you read it all together, but it sounds so beautiful in its making, but it's the way, it's because of those ways that there's only so many letters you could use. And they really play quite lovely on top of one another. The sentiment in this piece, the way that you were able to compile the deeper emotion here, I really love this stanza with the foreseen and the forgotten pledges. It makes me think of those promises that are given that aren't always lived up to, and the teeter-tottering and perhaps that back and forth. You know, to take a word bank in any sense and make it so emotionally moving, whether true or not, whether fiction or not, to me, when you're writing, whether it's fiction or true, it's always true in your voice, and I truly believe that. So I don't ever, when people write at the bottom, this is a piece of fiction, I always tell them, rip that out, because no matter if it's true or not, how
there's some kind of truth into it for you to be able to put your soul into that. Even if the story itself isn't true, there has to be those little truths that make you be able to understand that emotion or those feelings or that message in some sort of way. And your pieces are always moving in that way. Really, really well done.
Well, you just made my day. Thanks, Guy. And that's kind of amazing. And there is a touch of honesty in just about everything that I do, because I'm kind of, that's my thing. I'm honest in everything that I do. I me and lies don't work well. And when it comes to anything fiction, whatever is beneath it has to pull from something. Otherwise, it doesn't resonate. And if it doesn't resonate when I'm writing it, it's not going to resonate to anybody who's reading it. So I
agree with
that.
Even if a story is whole, even if something is whole in its entirety, the way that it is presented may be a piece of fiction. Like even with fantasy, there's still those little tiny truths that can be found. I truly agree with that.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Oh no. I will admit that with my darkness and everything, there's not an ounce of truth in anything.
So there has to be something. You just pull from somewhere. Maybe you're pulling from that, like, from that evil lady down the street. You know,
it's
no.
Okay, sweet. I don't think you want to sacrifice children.
Thank you. No, it's all fiction. Trust me. I just.
But here's the thing about that.
All I know is I'll never buy a used car from Sweet Pea.
That's funny, with that trunk.
Yeah,
but when it comes to dark things like that, you touch on fear or you touch on those darker parts of yourself that don't ever see the light in your everyday. It doesn't mean that they don't exist. Not the desire for all of that stuff, but the emotions that underlie those little things of fear and suspense. So, and you write that really, really well. So it's got to come from some kind of feeling that you felt at some point.
Oh,
you know?
Okay, I'll give you that. Yeah, fear, anxiety, all that. Yeah, those are probably very real, but the stories I tell have no.
Yeah, no. It's. I don't think you're going to come and haunt people and bludgeon them to death when you're dead and gone. It's all right.
No. Not at all.
She haunts us when she's alive.
It's Pete. You bring us presents?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I only brought you a very short brevity, if that's okay, sweet.
Well,
that's
for me. Is there a lot
of words? Okay. Well, it's only 50 words, so it doesn't sort of overstay its welcome. I actually fulfilled the task, which was I used Shakespeare and Lewis Carroll. This is Shakespeare said, and it goes a little bit like this. O peers, we show we care, we speak as so aware. Where a shake core erail, make us ask, air low pale. Wake asleep, so spake wise, rail as pair, ill score here lies. We shape or spose shall loll, oh, as we shake, carol or roll in poem.
And suddenly I feel like I'm in 10th grade English class, and I have good old Mrs. looking down at me and go, analyze this poem and what was Shakespeare saying? No, it must be more deep than us. They have a depth to it. Yes, Miss Lofty. Nothing like having an old Polish woman tell you that there's more depth to Shakespeare than you possibly can imagine. And wants to, 25-page paper on a poem that's literally 7 lines long. All right. I really like this. Thank you. I love how wake asleep, so speak wisely. Wake asleep. Interesting. So do we only speak wisely in our sleep? Or do we only speak wisely when we're awake? Or do we only speak wisely in that in-between state between dreams and being awake? I have so much to say about this one lie because it was drilled into my head, As we shake, carol, or roll. That is like combination of an Elvis Presley, you know, Keith and Scott, Shakespearean Elvis Presley combination
for
me. That line,
just
quietly. That is, you know, if you go into Elvis Presley's line and Shakespeare's line, that's kind of quite the dichotomy you've got me in there, AP. Wow. Shape or so self. No. Huh. Yeah, I like that idea. Okay, read it backwards. And that wasn't my idea, but someone gave it to me. Someone very close to you. So go ahead, read it backwards. Does the devil speak?
Line by line, backwards. Line by line,
yeah,
backwards.
Let's go.
Line by line. I think.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, let's try. I just wrote it, so here we go. Oh, as we shake, carol or roll, we shape or spose, shalol. Railers pair, ill score, he'll lies, wake asleep, so spake wise. Makers ask, share low pale, wear a shake, core ear rail. We speak as so aware, peers, we show, we care. End poem.
Well, see it
both ways.
Mm.
It does.
I like that it ends with the shows we care part, though. That's why I said that.
No, you're right. You're right, but that's what
I like.
I haven't thought about that, but you're right.
I don't know. I like it.
Happy accident.
I like the philosophy of Shakespeare and Elvis kind of hanging out and, you know, the big old skies going, really, really, I think, you know, if you really think about it, Shakespeare, it is a matter of whether or not we shake carol or roll. Yes, but do we do it in our sleep or are we awake? When do we stack laws, darling? I like this conversation. I could talk about it for ages, but I won't. So let's go to bed.
Yeah, I think that it's really clever as it stands, for sure, but there, for some reason, I don't know what it is about poems when AP writes them, but I have a tendency to just out of curiosity see how they read backwards. And there's something about, like, for one, oh, as we shake, carol, and roll, seems like a lighthearted way to start it off, and then end it with, oh, peers, we show we care, just brings it back to emotion. So I don't know. I just prefer it backwards. What I still think is he's a show-off because you can read it coherently forward or backwards, and this room's full of show-offs.
it's a geographical thing.
You include it.
Correct.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nodding.
And Sky, your thoughts? Sky.
She's not thinking right now.
This one.
Sorry about that.
Unmuted.
She's always
unmuted, Sky.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
I am here. I absolutely love that you fit so much into so few lines. And the fact that it's accidentally fabulous backwards just kind of makes me hate you a little bit. Not really, but maybe a little bit. And but I do like that last line as well. But it is that the opening to, oh, peers, we show we care, we speak as so aware. And, you know, there's something to be said for a poet's vision, you know, for what it is we take in as fuel for what we put out. And not everybody does that. Not everybody speaks in the same tones, and not everybody uses the same verbiage. Not everybody sees the world in a way that they can twist it into all these little beautiful visions in words. And I kind of really, really love that line. It just spoke to me that opening couplet was fabulous. The whole thing is fabulous, but that opening couplet just kind of stuck.
Thank you. Pretty good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Skylar. Sky left us. That's why she's not here. All right, Rocking Chair.
Yeah, I also really enjoyed that Shake, Carol, and Roll line as well. But the thing I want to start a pool. You use the word lol, and I can't help but think of the team just wanting to tell you that you misspelled it. Because, you know, you know where I'm going with that. Because I looked at the word, and I'm like, oh, my God. And I'm like, you almost forget that that's a word until, you know, you see it in the proper context. And it's like, you know, and then it reminds me of the stupidity of the anagrams and adding that word, that shortened word, to the dictionary because of, you know, it's overpopulation. It infuriates me in a way, but, you know, I loved seeing that. I couldn't help but smile when you used it. I'm sitting there going, oh, my God, that's weird. That's so beautiful. So, you know, I mean, that made the whole thing. And again, you know, the fact that it's a brevity, too, for me, you know, you kind of dismissed it like, you know, yeah, it's a last-minute thing, so I didn't think it out. But, you know, sometimes it's hard to me, I think, to do a brevity because, you know, you're trying to convey a thought or whatever, and you're doing it in less words, so it has to be more impactful. And to me, that's harder than you know, having the extra words to flesh it out and tell your story. So, you know, that made this very impactful for me. I really enjoyed it very much.
Thank you, Crack. I was just glad I got spose in without the U, so, because I didn't have a U to use. So, you know, but I agree, LOL's underused in its appropriate form.
Wonderful job.
I agree. All right, well, that actually ends the night of poetry. I'm done. Over. Everybody can go over to Poetic Punch of Life in a little bit and wish Miss Kay a happy birthday. And prepare for next week's show, which is...
Well done, Sweet.
It is. Oh, my God, it's been a year since Sweet had a cow put in her.
I actually ate cow heart for dinner last night. You know, just putting that out there.
Did you think of me?
A little bit.
All right. We're going to do a celebration of life over the last year. I mean, COVID's kind of lifted a little bit. AP, you've been through a lot this last year. Freebird's been through a lot. Rack's been through a lot. I've been through, I can't believe it's been a year. And that was 6 months of the most painful craziness, rehabilitation. And then the last 6 months have been just, wow, what a change in my life. So we're going to do all about the heart and the change and craziness. So that's my anniversary show of the heart. So I hope everybody joins me. But thanking Stephen and Kay and Sky and Deb and Hatter and Blue and Wolf on the Board and AP for joining us. And, of course, my special thanks to Rack and Creeper, who are always at my side and have let me do this show without. I love you all very, very much. And we'll see you next week. Different time, different bat channel. Or same bat channel, different time.
Thanks, Mike.
We're going to go out tonight, and we're going to go out listening to a little bit of Dr. Stoop.
And now, The Butter Battle Book. Written and illustrated by Dr. Seuss. On the last day of summer, 10 hours before fall, my grandfather took me out to the wall. For a while he stood silent, then finally he said, with a very sad shake of his very old head, "As you know, on this side of the wall are the Yooks, and the far other side of this wall live the Zooks." Then my grandfather said, "It's high time that you knew of the terrible, horrible things that Zooks do. In every Zook house, and in every Zook town, every Zook eats his bread with the butter side down. But we Yooks, as you know, When we breakfast or sup, spread our butter, Grandpa said, with the butter side up. That's the right, honest way, Grandpa gritted his teeth. So you can't trust a Zook who spreads bread underneath. Every Zook must be watched. He has kinks in his soul. That's why, as a youth, I made watching my goal. Watching Zooks from the Zook Watching Border Patrol. In those days, of course, the wall wasn't so high, and I could look any Zook square in the eye. If he dared to come close, I could give him a twitch with my tough-tufted prickly snickberry switch. For a while that worked fine. All the Zooks stayed away, and our country was safe. Then one terrible day, a very rude Zook by the name of Van Itch snuck up and slingshotted my snickberry switch. With my broken-off switch, with my head hung in shame, to the chief Yukaroo in great sorrow I came. But our leader just smiled. He said, "You're not to blame. All those Zooks will be sorry they started this game. We'll dress you right up in a fancier suit. We'll give you a fancier slingshot to shoot." And he ordered the boys in the back room to figure how to build me some sort of triple sling jigger. With my triple sling jigger, I sure felt much bigger. I marched to the wall with great vim and great vigor, right up to Van Itch with my hand on the trigger. "I'll have no more nonsense," I said with a frown, "from Zooks who eat bread with the butter side down." Van Itch looked quite sickly. He ran off quite quickly. I'm unhappy to say he came back the next day in a spiffy new suit with a big new machine, and he snarled as he said, looking frightfully mean, "You may fling those hard rocks with your triple sling jigger, but I also now have my hand on a trigger. My wonderful weapon, the jigger rock snatch 'em, we'll fling 'em right back just as quick as we catch 'em. We'll have no more nonsense. We'll take no more gup from you Yooks who eat bread with the butter side up." "I have failed, sir," I sobbed as I made my report to the chief Yukaroo in the headquarters fort. He just laughed. "You've done nothing at all of the sort. Our slingshots have failed. That was old-fashioned stuff. Slingshots, dear boy, are not modern enough. All we need is some newfangled kind of gun. My boys in the back room have already begun to think up a walloping whizzinger one. My bright boys are thinking. They're on the right track. They'll think up one quick, and we'll send you right back." They thought up a great one. They certainly did. They thought up a gun called the Kickapoo Kid, which they loaded with powerful poo-a-doo powder and ants' eggs and bees' legs and dried fried clam chowder. And they carefully trained a real smart dog named Daniel to serve as our country's first gun-toting spaniel. Then Daniel, the Kickapoo Spaniel, and I marched back to the wall with our heads held up high, while everyone cheered and their cheers filled the sky. "Fight! Fight for the butter side up! Do or die." Well, we didn't do, and we didn't quite die, but we sure did get worsted, poor Daniel and I. Van Itch was there too, and he said, the old pig, "The boys in my back room invented this rig called the 8-nozzled elephant-toted boom blitz. It shoots high-explosive sour cherry stone pits and will put your dumb Kickapoo Kid on the fritz." Poor Daniel and I were scared out of our wits. Once more, by Van Itch, I was bested and beat. Once again, I limped home from the wall in defeat. I dragged and I sagged, and my spirits were low as I thought that they ever could go, when I heard a boom-baw and a diddly-dill, and our butter-up band marched up over the hill. The chief Yukaroo had sent them to meet me, along with the right-side-up song girls to greet me. They sang, "Oh, be faithful, believe in thy butter," and they lifted my spirits right out of the gutter. "My boy," smiled the chief Yukaroo, "we've just voted and made you a general. You've been promoted. Your pretty new uniform's ready. Get in it. The big war is coming. You're going to begin it. And what's more, this time you are certain to win it. My boys in the back room have finally found how. Just wait till you see what they've puttered up now. In their great new machine, you'll fly over that wall and clobber those buttered down zooks one and all. Those boys in the back room sure knew how to putter. They made me a thing called the Utterly Sputter, and I jumped aboard with my heart all aflutter and steered toward the land of the upside-down butter. This machine was so modern, so frightfully new, no one knew quite exactly just what it would do. But it had several faucets that sprinkled blue goo, which somehow would sprinkle the zooks as I flew, and gum up that upside-down butter they chew. I was racing pell-mell when I heard a voice yell, "If you sprinkle us zooks, you'll get sprinkled as well." Van Itch had a sputter exactly like mine, and he yelled, "My blue gooer is working just fine, and I'm here to say that if yooks can goo zooks, you'd better forget it, 'cause zooks can goo yooks." I flew right back home, and, as you may have guessed, I was downright despondent, disturbed, and depressed. And I saw, just as soon as I stepped back on land, so were all the girls of the Butter Up Band. The chief drum majorette, Miss Yuki Ann Sue, said, "That was a pretty sour flight that you flew, and the chief Yukaroo has been looking for you." I raced to his office. The place was a sight. "Have no fears," said the chief. "Everything is all right. My bright backroom boys have been brighter than bright. They thought up a gadget that's newer than new. It's filled with a mysterious moo-lack-a-moo and can blow all those zooks clear to Salamagoo. They've invented the Bitsy Big Boy Boomeroo. You just run to the wall like a nice little man. Drop this bomb on the zooks just as fast as you can. I've ordered all yooks to stay safe underground while the Bitsy Big Boy Boomeroo is around." As I raced for that wall with the bomb in my hand, I noticed that every last yook in our land was obeying our chief Yukaroo's grim command. They were all bravely marching with banners aflutter down a hole for their country and right set up butter. That's when Grandfather found me. He grabbed me. He said, "You should be down that hole, and you're up here instead. But perhaps this is all for the better somehow. You will see me make history right here and right now." Grandpa leapt up that wall with a loopless leap, and he cleared his hoarse throat with a boopless beep. He screamed, "Here's the end of that terrible town, full of zooks who eat bread with the butter side down." And at that very instant, we heard a clup-clup, a feet on the wall, and old Van Itch clupped up. The boys in his back room had made him one, too. In his fist was another Big Boy Boomeroo. "I'll blow you," he yelled, "into pork and wee beans. I'll butter side up you to small smithereens." "Grandpa," I shouted, "be careful. Oh, gee, who's going to drop it? Will you or will he?" "Be patient," said Grandpa. "We'll see. We will see."
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.